Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Right, we've reached Championship Sunday. Who is going to ultimately lift the trophy? Is it going to be the two-time winner in Stefanos Tsitsipas or the guy that leads the head-to-head in Casper Ruud?
Tough one to call. Casper looked great in that victory over Novak Djokovic. Milestone win for him. But I got to go with my gut. I think the Greek has been playing great tennis. Him and Sinner have been the two best all week, in my opinion. There's one man standing between those two. So I'm going with Steph for a third title.
Looking forward to seeing who lifts the hardware at the end of Championship Sunday.
I'll wait for your go, Huska. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Heaps. Hey, Andy.
Yo.
Yo.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
TC Live with you on a Saturday morning here in L.A., Saturday evening in Monte Carlo. And our final is set on the shores of the Med. And I guess there's a first time for everything. Casper Ruud had lost all 11 sets he played against Novak Djokovic, all 25 sets he played against the top three. But that schneid is over. Coming up on the show, Novak Djokovic has made all manner of tennis history, had a chance to make some more this weekend, but that chance is gone. Big Foe making more big changes to his team. Why did his veteran coach not make it to the four-month mark of their relationship? And Team USA off and running in Orlando, the Fab Five and their rookie captain on the verge of making Billie Jean King Cup finals. All that and more ahead on our program as we welcome you to TC Live on this Saturday. So glad you're with us from the shores of the Mediterranean to here in LA with Paul Anacone here in the studio, Andy Roddick at the home office. I'm Brett Haber. So we have our final set in Monte Carlo. It's not 1 and 2 in the world, Djokovic and Sinner. It's 10 and 12 in the world in Ruud and Tsitsipas. Paul, what did you make of that performance from Novak?
I actually think it was probably the best match he played this week. I thought he started off pretty poorly. And then the second and third sets, I thought he played pretty well. He played a good match against Safulin, but it's a different level against the guy that he played today. Novak, a little up and down, obviously rough at the beginning, but a good turnaround. But for Casper Ruud, how about a tip of the cap after 0-11 sets to come out and tough that one out in the third?
0-25 sets against the top three. When he came back, Novak, from 4-1 down in that third set. Andy, we'd seen this movie before. We thought that he'd find a way to the finish line, and he didn't.
No, it was interesting. Like, I'm having a hard time getting a read on the Novak that we saw this week in Monte Carlo and the reasonings for it. Like, in the first set, he looked exhausted. The rally would go past 7 or 8 balls, and he was physically exhausted. And we're talking a 72-degree day, 2-3 all in the first set. Or just down a break early. It was weird to watch. And then he kind of found his pacing. And then, like you said, Brett, he came back. And then the last game, he misses a first ball error, misses a high volley by, 7 or 8 feet. So it was like, you're supposed to know what's going to happen. based on history, and it just didn't. It felt like he was searching for something all week. The physical stuff, I don't know what it is, but it's a little concerning. You don't see someone who's exhausted early and then gain on it throughout the match. I don't really know what that is.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back with the SARS and the bird flu and all that, but it's weird to see. I mean, it's weird to see 15 years later.
Don't get me in trouble again. I don't want the Nola Kim coming at me on coming at me on Twitter, Brett. You don't know that you just gave away 10 hours of my life to the Nola Kim.
I won't dig your hole any deeper than it already is. Let's start with the early semifinal from today. Sinner and Tsitsipas started us off. Last time they played each other on a clay court was 2 years ago in Rome. That was a pretty straightforward win for Tsitsipas. He absolutely ate up the Sinner second serve in that match. It was his third straight win over Sinner at the time. But that was then, Andy. 2 years later, it's Sinner who had won the last two meetings. He's the one who's off to the 25-1 start this season. And then what happened?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest difference with Tsitsipas when he goes from hard to clay is his ability to create shape and make that backhand a weapon. Right? On hard court, you feel like he's trying to flatten it out too early. He can't really lay back and kind of get the loft underneath it. But Sinner's going, you know what? I've won a lot of matches this year. I know what to do. Roller derby, passing shot there. Set him up with a dropper and then finish it off. Serve and volley for good measure. And at this point, you feel like Sinner, based on form and based on confidence, is going to find a way through this. Gets up an early break. And then it's like, okay, we've seen this before this year. He's going to tough him out. Then it gets a little bit awkward here. With this call, it was so significant. The ref makes the right call here, steps in and does her job, or one Sinner serving, right? It's not the player's job to have to do their job, which is returning, playing, moving, and call balls and strikes. The umpire has a single job. Look at the shots, and maybe if you want to calling the score, maybe half a job. Miss, and then Sinner, this bothers me more than the call for him, or concerns me more than the call. Not someone who shows his ailments that often. He wasn't right after this. You see him not recovering, getting out of the corner like that, kind of laying off a little bit. Tsitsipas, to his credit, it's not always easy to play someone who you know has an injury. Tsitsipas kept his head down, kept moving him, trying to move him in and out of the corners. And Sinner, you just felt like was half a step late with his footwork. Like even there, just trying to force it a little bit. Tsitsipas has space. He's 5 or 6 feet behind the baseline hitting that back end, not up on it. Good to see him back. And look at, all of a sudden we have a plethora of one-handed backhands in the top 10. Tsitsipas back in.
With Dimitrov as well. So second top five win of the week for Tsitsipas, who also took out Zverev in the round of 16, seventh career Masters 1000 final. These are the stats from the match. Second serve seemed to be the tipping point category. Tsitsipas able to win 62% of his second serve points. Sinner just 46%. Here is Sinner on that crucial match line call that would have given him a double break.
It's tough to accept this, yes. It's tough. It's a tough one to swallow because, you know, I was playing at some point great tennis. Was playing well, you know, tactically. Everything went in the right direction. And, you know, and this, everyone can make mistakes, unfortunately. Or fortunately, you know, also I can make mistakes. And it went like this.
All right, so in case you didn't catch the flow of that, just to clarify where that came in the match, Sinner's up a break in the third set. Tsitsipas double faults. He would have been up 4-1 double break. Paul, he's not going to lose this match from double break up in the third. They can't get that call wrong there.
No, and one of the problems I have, and Andy and I have talked about this, is subjective mistakes. That's one thing. You know, when do you get a warning? Is that too much? Is that too little? Do you get away with swearing on the court and not getting warned? And then do you make a hand signal and get warned? stuff like that in evaluation you can argue about, stuff that's quantitatively measurable. A point like that, a second serve that's probably 95, 98 miles an hour on break point, the linesman misses it and the umpire misses it. And we're talking, that was 2¾ inches long. We're not talking that was 2 millimeters. That was 2¾. That's not even close. So for me, that's a bit of a heartbreaker. Typical Sinner, he handled it with total class. And you give Tsitsipas credit because he hung in there. For me, Sinner, the big takeaway is he played average at best for him, and he still could have won today. But for Tsitsipas, this was huge. Dug in there. He loves playing here, has won twice. This could be a huge catalyst for Steph during the clay court season.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Yeah, listen, if we're going to be fair on all sides of tennis, like, we'll tell you when a player has a crappy day, that umpiring was terrible. It's in the middle of the court. It's a second serve. It's clear as day. It's not as if it's on a sideline. Like, I'm trying to think of potential excuses to miss a second serve at that juncture, and there is none. There just frankly is none. But unfortunately, when a player is bad at their job, they pay the price. When an umpire is bad at their job, the player pays the price also. So it stinks. Sinner handled it a lot better than I would have. I promise you that. But listen, credit to Steph. Struggling coming into Monte Carlo. Let's not let this take away from what he's accomplished this week. Going through Zverev, giving up a big lead in that Zverev match and still closing it out, getting through this one. Listen, there are other factors, injury and calls aside. The facts are he's playing for the title tomorrow. He needed this turnaround week big time, and he's gotten it.
I hate to say it, but electronic line calling on clay, and this does not happen, guys. We're going to have it next year. We could have had it today. It's better than the human eye. Right? Do we agree? Technology is undisputed.
Yep.
All right. Let's show you some of what Tsitsipas accomplished by winning this match today. Aside from the tour finals, it's the first time he's beaten two top fives in the same tournament in 5 years. He's the fourth man to beat Sinner in the last 6 months, and he is back in the top 10 as of Monday's ranking. All right, let's go to the late semi that you just saw. Djokovic and Ruud, all five previous meetings going Novak's way. All 11 previous sets going Novak's way. That ended in set one.
Yeah, and it started off really quickly for Casper Ruud, getting the early break, played some good tennis in the first set. But like Andy said, it was strange. Novak in the first set looked bad. The first 15, 20 minutes looked like he'd been on the court for 3.5 hours. And as the match progressed, started feeling better. But nice job for Casper Ruud during this first set to sustain enough momentum to get through and get off the schneid. 0-11 with sets against Novak. It's rough. Second set, Novak Djokovic starts playing old Novak Djokovic tennis. First set for Novak, how about 15 forehand unforced errors? Second set, Novak actually gets more offensive, raises forehand speed 4 miles an hour, and makes 3 unforced errors on the forehand in the second set. 6-1 score, and then Casper Ruud gets offensive at the beginning of the third, gets an early break, and then Novak does what Novak normally does. He hangs in there, finds a way to get back in the match. Look at that, and the primal scream. We think, yes, this is Novak time. Not so much.
All right, so 6-4, 1-6, 6-4 in 2 hours, 17 minutes. Second career Masters 1000 final for Casper Ruud. The other one in Miami 2 years ago. These are the match stats. 32 unforced errors. You mentioned all the misses he had on the forehand side, Novak, early in the match. He also won just 2/3 of his first serve points. That's very low for Djokovic. And while he was amped up and a little miffed on the court when he came to press, he was calmed down.
Well, of course, I'm disappointed, you know, to lose a match like this. I mean, it was a close one. Congratulations to Casper, who played really good, especially in the beginning of the first and third as well. I had my chances, but the last game was not great on first errors, and he was solid, I think, until the last shot and deserved to win.
That he did, and the double fault on match point down didn't help either. Ruud, Andy, lost that middle set 6-1.
He was very passive in terms of his return position. Paul pointed it out during the match, even though Novak wasn't making any first serves. What did he change in that third set to turn it around?
Well, I agree with Paul's positioning, but Casper, I don't think, is one of the guys whose stroke production allows him to jump 3 or 4 feet inside the baseline. He doesn't have a flat ball flight, right? But what he can do is take bigger risks. You know, maybe step in instead of being 8 feet back, maybe it's 5 feet back. He started opening up the shoulders on the backhand, right? Paul was talking about the 80-20 mix cross-court versus down the line during the match. He corrected that a little bit, but what I saw was he started opening up the shoulders, trying to make it an offensive shot, right? Wasn't just happy kind of laying it out of the zone where Novak was all of a sudden getting to turn on it and then driving the traffic to Casper's forehand to open up a more aggressive shot to the backhand side. Casper started opening up the shoulders, so Novak wasn't able to do that kind of circle C footwork to get that forehand. So good adjustment by him, just upping the risk profile on that backhand side, probably 15-20% in that third set, and it paid off.
I think that's the key for Casper. He's so good at what he does against 98% of the players, he doesn't have to change very much, right? But when you play someone like Novak or Rafa in particular, sometimes you have to get outside your comfort zone. If Novak Djokovic is winning 15 of 21 second serve points and you're playing the same point over and over and over again from 20 feet behind the baseline, you got to do something different. And if you don't do something different in terms of that positioning, what do? Exactly what Andy said. You start opening up on the backhand. And you go down the line a little bit earlier in the rally, and you create some opportunity by backing that Novak up that way. You can't only rely on your forehand. So I give Ruud a ton of credit to turn it around, because second set, it was look out, let's get ready to go home.
By the way, I've got Holger Rune on the phone for you. He wants to know why Novak was able to tell that guy in the first row to F off three times in that last set and didn't get a single warning, and he got the warning.
Because he didn't do this.
Oh, this is Novak.
I'll tell you something. I can do this on Tennis Channel, and we're not going to get fined. It's fine. But if I told one to properly shut the front door, we would have a problem, right? That would be an issue. I think what we've seen this week is just a lack of consistency with the officiating. Let's get to automatic line calls. Yes, let's take it out of their hands. But also, let's have some consistency, right? If someone yells curse words at the crowd, I don't care who it is. Novak, whoever, it doesn't matter. I've certainly done it, but like, that should be a warning. And if someone is like, you know, being hand puppets, then it shouldn't be. It's pretty simple.
And it was as plain as day and as loud as you like when Novak said it about 20 minutes ago. We've got more to come on the show. We are waiting for Casper Ruud to join Prakash on the desk in Monte Carlo. We'll have that for you as soon as he arrives. Plus, some nervous moments in Orlando last night. Team USA with a pair of slow starts against a team of Belgian teenagers. We'll show you how they responded to that adversity when TC Live returns. Shut the F up.
The last one was oh, man. Woo.
Sorry, I had to get that. I know you were looking for a break. I had to.
He goes perfect. Perfect. Perfect.
Ruud.
And what do we do? Just exit? Just. No, but that's what I'm. Yeah.
I'll toss it.
Okay. I didn't actually mean get up and leave the set. See you guys.
Paul doesn't sit through interviews. That's my red line. As scripted here. Husk and I were looking at this. America this was a week after Serena won the U.S. Open. Serena was on the team and did not play singles. It was Venus and Lindsay.
Nice to have choices, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good choices.
Hmm.
Is the team any good?
Good grief.
That'd be interesting.
Don't say that team.
Compare that team versus the 92 men's team, where it was Max, Sampras, Courier, Agassi.
I think the women's team wins.
Oh,
gosh, man! when you have a team and Pete and Mac don't play singles, that's pretty good.
back on TC Live, and if you're going to buy into a coach's leadership, it's nice to know they've walked the walk themselves. And Lindsay Davenport certainly did when she wore the stars and stripes as a player. This is 99 Fed Cup final against Russia on a team with Serena and Venus. Lindsay won both her singles matches, including the cup clincher right there against Elena Lukotseva, one of three Fed Cup title teams that Lindsay was a part of. Last night in Orlando, she began her journey as the captain, qualifying tie against Belgium, and Andy, she had the world number five, Jessie Pegula, leading her off.
Yeah, and it's always nervy. It's a different set of nerves when you're playing for your country. You don't see Jess Pegula put forehands halfway up the net very often, but credit to her and credit for Lindsay for keeping her calm, staying the course, finding the pacing. Jess knows most days she's going to win this match, right? It's just a matter of figuring out the patterns, figuring out the consistency, and executing. A great fight there. Credit to Lindsay again. Game planning mid-match, helping her out, Jess getting the movement. And at this point, getting that break, momentum is on your side. I feel like it works both ways heavily, especially when you're playing for your country. Credit to Jess for sticking in there. Doesn't matter how you got it done. That's one for the U.S. right there.
Able to overcome serving just 40% for the match and being broken four times. She's now 5-2. Pegula is playing for her country. So match two marked the USA debut for Emma Navarro, taking on the 19-year-old Hannah van de Winkel. And Paul, just like Jesse, Emma got off to a slow start.
Yeah, and look, we've talked about how well Emma has played this year, and that's one great thing. But then all of a sudden you get thrown into this situation. It's challenging. Emma loses the first set 6-4. You're supposed to win this match. There's a ton of pressure. Sure, you have Lindsay Davenport in your corner, but you have all the pressure of the stars and stripes behind you and expectation to win when you're supposed to do it. Emma did a great job settling down after that bumpy first set. Again, Lindsay whispering in the ear does not hurt one bit at all. What I'd love to see from the women on this team is the support, the camaraderie, all the stuff that Lindsay's been talking about that she's trying to build. After that second set, Emma freed up a little bit, played more high percentage and power tennis. The smile tells it all, and it's 2-0. Team USA.
2.5 hour grind for Emma. She gets it done now, 22-8 on the season. High fives all around as Team USA gets spotted to a 2-0 lead. It occurs to me watching them last night, Andy, that the pressure comes in all different flavors. Well, what's it like when you are an overwhelming favorite the way the U.S. was last night and you're playing in front of a home crowd? What does that pressure feel like?
It's more of a defensive pressure. Even early in my career, I felt less pressure playing on the road than I did at home. And then about midway through my career, I kind of figured out how to use the crowd and had a decent home record from there forward. But listen, the thing I love about this team is that they didn't play great yesterday, right? That wasn't their best stuff. They were nervy. There's no question they felt the pressure, overwhelming favorites. And yet, 2-0. You did what you came to do. You got through it. Listen, it's a math contest, not an art show, and they're up 2-0. Way to go. Props to Coach Davenport.
Speaking of which, let's flash back to that video we showed before the highlight from, I can't believe I'm saying this, 25 years ago when the U.S. beat Russia. That was at Stanford to clinch the cup. Paul, we were looking back at it. This was a team with Serena and Venus. Serena had just won her first U.S. Open a week earlier. She didn't even get to play singles in this time.
That's what you call being spoiled by riches, right? Let's see, who should we play? Player one, two, three, four, five, six. I mean, when you have a squad like this, it's just unbelievable. Those were just fond memories, and obviously a great effort for Team USA. But I just want to tag what Andy said, because it's so interesting, because you think when you're at home and you're supposed to win, it's going to be fun. It's overwhelming. We should smoke everybody. Mm. When you're a player, you go on the court with so much more fear because of what may happen, because you're supposed to win. And I give Lindsay credit and the other women on this team to be able to settle your nerves. It's easy to play the game when you play well. It's very difficult when you play average to find a way to win, particularly with that kind of pressure on.
And props, by the way, to the U.S. fellas who live down in Orlando, all came out to support the ladies last night. I saw Chris Eubanks in the crowd. I saw Mackie McDonald in the crowd. Nice to have that Team USA feel across both genders. The tie continues this afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern. Jessie Pegula plays the first reverse single. She'll have a chance to clinch it against van der Winkel. If necessary, Navarro would play the second singles. Madison Keys and Taylor Townsend slated to play the doubles. Mark Pecci and Coco Vandeweghe will have it for you. Much more to come on this show, including how American Sebi Korda lost considerably more than a match this week in Monte Carlo. Stay with us.
I see what you did there. Okay.
Copy. They asked me to keep. Copy. They asked me to keep it on the slightly shorter side, just FYI.
Is he on the set? Nice. Where are we going to pick it up with the social? Just let me know. You want to do Rafa? So before social media. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. 10 seconds. Thank you, Thomas.
You're welcome. Okay. 10 seconds. 5, 4.
Today, Casper Ruud will always remember first time he ever beat a top three opponent, first time he's ever taken a set off of Novak Djokovic. In fact, he took two, and Casper is standing by live in Monte Carlo with Prakash. Guys.
Thanks very much, Brett. Casper, congratulations. What a monumental victory today.
Thank you.
You hadn't won a set against Novak before, so how did you adjust the mentality coming in to be able to get over the hump?
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought, you know, it's about time to try to win at least a set against him. And then in the first set, I was able to and started great. See, I got an early break right away and one more, and then he came back a little bit. But yeah, perfect start to the match for me and winning the first set, I guess, is crucial against Novak because if you're down a set or two, if you're playing a slam, he's just going to eat you alive, kind of. And he did eat me alive anyhow in the second set, coming back. But at least you're 1-1 on the third set. You know, a little bit everything can happen. It's open. Always when you're coming into a third set, it's always going to be open. But I was leading there as well. He came back, kind of typical style of him. And even though you feel like you have him, you never do. And then it's not over until it's over. And then luckily for me, that last second serve flew a little bit long. So that was a good feeling, of course.
You made some great tactical adjustments today. Andy Roddick was talking about how you really stepped up the aggression on your backhand side. Yeah. What do you think the most important decisions you made today that were different from before?
It's something that we worked on the last 5, 6, 7 months in my game to take a little more chances than before, not just playing all the time. Obviously, when you're playing Novak, when you're playing a big match like this, you want to kind of keep the errors down and tend to be a little maybe pushy at times. But in the third set, I just said, you know, screw it and let's go for it. And when I broke him in the beginning, I think I hit a good backhand down the line winner at some point in that game. And then a few other good backhands because he was toying with me in the second set and I felt like I was doing too many sloppy mistakes from my backhand side. And he had too much time to kind of control the game. And I just said, you know, it's time to step up now in the third. And luckily they went in.
Well, on the heels of this brilliant victory, you'll now battle for the title against Stefanos Tsitsipas, who is also feeling very comfortable on the clay. You beat him earlier this year. How will you go for your first 1,000 tomorrow?
I'm going to try to remember what I did well back in Los Cabos when we played. Think about that in the, you know, recent memory. And then obviously this is a different day, different match, different surface tomorrow. But and he has had a lot of success on here in Monte Carlo and on clay. So it's going to be a fun match for the title. I'm chasing, you know, my first kind of really big title, and it's not every day you get a chance. So I'm going to do everything I can to be ready for it tomorrow and come out strong and in a positive way.
You were awesome out there today, man. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Brett, Andy, Paul.
All right, Prakash and Casper, thanks very much. This is, of course, Casper's stablemate from the Nadal Academy in Mallorca.
With Barcelona starting in 36 hours, Paul, how great is it to see Rafa back on court?
Oh, it's terrific to see him out there, and looked like from all the clips that I saw this week, he was practicing pretty much at full strength. So let's see if that body can hold up and let him just go out there and play some good tennis.
The draw is out. He plays Ciboli in the first round, would play Demonor, who gets a bye in the second round. That's a sight for sore eyes to see him back on. He's only won there 12 times. He doesn't have a chance, does he?
It's just a joke with these stats that he throws around on clay courts. But the couple things that I'm going to be looking for, Brent, there are two things that are going to be telling when you're watching Rafa's matches. The serve, right? How he goes after it. Are there any adjustments made on motion? The rumors are that he's still battling some ab issues, maybe a back issue. When I did the deal in Vegas and watched him play Alcaraz, the serve was, it didn't look great at all. And also just how he's getting out of the corners. You know, as these guys age, I think the first telltale sign is losing a half a step out of those corners. And he's been as good as anyone we've ever seen, especially on clay. So those two will be telling. I think the draw is actually pretty good. Ciboli, for he's going to be able to actually get into some points and find some rhythm. And Demonor, even though he has been so good this year, he's going to be able to hit a lot of returns, right? Rafa's going to be in his service games. I actually think this is a decent draw for Rafa. Not to say let's go on and win the tournament, but just to get a couple of matches and some rhythm back, which is the goal for this week.
All right, we're excited to show you all the Barcelona coverage starting on Monday live here on Tennis Channel. With that, let us take a look at the social net for this Saturday, and we start with some Francis Tiafoe news. The partnership with Diego Moyano is over. It lasted about 4 months. We should point out that Big Foe is now outside the top 20 after being briefly inside the top 10 last summer. Since making that U.S. Open quarterfinal, Paul, Foe is just 13-14 overall. He did make the Houston final last week, but any cause for concern with Foe right now?
Not in my mind. This is just about a reassessment period. Look, Diego Moyano is a great coach. Francis is a great player. That doesn't mean if you're a great coach and a great player, you're always going to mesh up. I think this is a situation where Francis is trying to figure out exactly what he needs in his corner and in his ear. And to me, when you're this talented and you're this good and you've done what Francis Tiafoe has done, it's not really a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So he just needs to hit the reset button, get reacclimated, refocus, prioritize the goals, and get the person in his ear that he would like.
Yeah, I'll make the mistake of disagreeing with Paul here, but I think there is some concern. I don't think you start a coaching relationship and are not concerned if you win less matches than you lose over the course of time, and you're kind of, you know, 4 months into your season. I do think is it time to reset. I'm not worried about Francis's career at large, which I think was the point that Paul was trying to make. But having to make a coaching switch on your least favorite surface when you're behind the eight ball, yeah, that would be concerning to me, and I'm sure it is to Francis too. But it's better to kind of cut bait with some time left in the season than make a 4 month mistake that's not working into a year-long mistake that's not working.
Had a very productive partnership with Wayne Ferreira for 4 years. Be interesting to see where Francis goes next for a coach. Speaking of American men, very scary incident for this American man, Sebi Korda, earlier this week in Monte Carlo. Korda was robbed by two thieves on motorcycles in Monte Carlo. And you see that wristwatch he's wearing? That's what they stole right off of his wrist. Andy, I'm told that watch was worth over 300,000 euros.
Yeah, that's like seven of my minivans that I drive my kids around in. You never like to see this. Obviously, you shouldn't have to feel like you're scared or you can't wear something nice. That's a heck of a watch. I hope he got it for free. But you don't like seeing this. I don't know what else to say. That sucks, and people suck sometimes, and you hope it didn't leave too much scar tissue for him.
Yeah, and hopefully he's doing fine. I'm sure there's going to be some mental scar tissue, but that had to be scary as everything. So, but for Seb, luckily he's doing okay, and that is a nice watch.
So our two takeaways from today is, one, sometimes people suck. And two, if you want to beat Novak Djokovic, sometimes, what did Casper say? You just got to say screw it.
Screw it, yeah.
So screw it. Sometimes people suck. Don't say you didn't learn anything on Tennis Channel today. Next week on the network, we've got another busy schedule around the globe as the road to Roland Garros continues. The men with the 500 in Barcelona with Rafa on the menu, 250s in Munich and Bucharest, the women in Stuttgart and Rouen, France. And we'll have it all covered for you on Tennis Channel, T2, and TC Plus. Back in a moment.
No, but I get it. But who, what are they going to fill it for 18 minutes? This is Emma.
That's
oh my
good.
Gosh, a slap. This is for Andy. Right. In theory, I guess we could have done just 18 more minutes of show. I realize. Paul would like to do those 18 minutes.
Yeah, by myself. I'll sit here and do card tricks. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened there. I'm just getting the frog.
Might be the Fetz or Val.
Yeah, I'll have that checked. All right, our hot shot of the day comes from last night in Orlando. Emma Navarro, far court here. Andy with some wand work.
Brett, you know I like a hot shot, especially when it's an important point like serving for the minute to give your team a 2-0 lead for your country. It's not just a slap shot. It's a relevant slap shot. Love this one for Emma Navarro. Can't wait to see which Emma wins the hot shot tomorrow. Raducanu yesterday, Navarro today. I don't know, Brett.
I think we're fresh out of Emmas at this point in the top 100. Here's the final tomorrow. It's Tsitsipas Rude episode 4. As you know, our team on the ground that's been doing a great job all week in Monte Carlo is Danny Kleppinger and Prakash. Here's their preview.
Brett, we've reached Championship Sunday. Who is going to ultimately lift the trophy? Is it going to be the two-time winner in Stefanos Tsitsipas or the guy that leads the head-to-head in Casper Ruud?
Tough one to call. Casper looked great in that victory over Novak Djokovic. Milestone win for him, but I got to go with my gut. I think the Greek has been playing great tennis. Him and Sinner have been the two best all week, in my opinion. There's one man standing between those two, so I'm going with Steph for a third title.
Looking forward to seeing who lifts the hardware at the end of Championship Sunday.
All right, so that's the final. Ruud leads the head-to-head over Tsitsipas 2-1. You heard him mention the fact that they played on a hard court in Cabo a couple of months ago. Paul, what's your first blush on this final?
I'm going to go with Mr. Casper Ruud. I think he's building on the confidence, has the win on the hard courts, and I think that he's going to come out and play some good tennis tomorrow.
What about you, Mr. Roddick?
I think Ruud. I am not confident. I'd like to get a little weather report. I think we skipped that portion of the show, unfortunately. It's the only time I've ever wanted to see it. I think I'm going Ruud. I just think being able to get up and away on that backhand side. I'm not confident, though. This is a popcorn match, but push comes to shove. I guess Ruud would like to see that Fox weather report, which you'll never hear me say again.
Both guys are Roland Garros finalists. Ruud twice over, Tsitsipas once. We'll see what happens tomorrow. You'll see it live on Tennis Channel. That's going to do it for this edition of TC Live. For Paul and Andy and our entire Tennis Channel team, I'm Brett. Top of the hour, live coverage. That's just, 18 minutes away of the Billie Jean King Cup qualifying round. Reverse singles in Orlando. The U.S. against Belgium. Mark Pecci and Coco Vandeweghe have the coverage of that. Enjoy it, and we'll see you tomorrow for Championship Sunday in Monte Carlo. 9 a.m. Eastern. Tsitsipas takes out the number 2 Sinner today. Casper Ruud takes out the number 1 Djokovic. That's our final.
say sorry, Paul. Elements.
Belgium. Lindsay Davenport's first tie as the Billie Jean King Cup captain. We've got Jess Pegula, Maddie Keys, Emma Navarro, Caroline Dollarhide, and Taylor Townsend.
Camaraderie, that's really what I was going for. Great team spirit, ladies who are working hard and really want to represent their country.
It is memories for these women that they're never going to forget, and it would be a great way to start with a nice W.
Foundation.
her first ITF singles and doubles titles last season. From Genk, Belgium, Sophia Kostoulas. She is the top-ranked Belgian singles player for this tie. From Brie, Belgium, Hanna van der Winkel. And that's the team from Belgium. And now, the winningest team in Billie Jean King Cup history. The United States of America. This Hall of Famer and former world number one is one of the most successful American players in Billie Jean King Cup history. From Sarasota, Florida, team captain Lindsay Davenport. She's a two-time Grand Slam doubles finalist and former world number five. From Chicago, Illinois, Taylor Townsend. She's been ranked as high as number 41 in the world in singles and 21 in doubles. From Hinsdale, Illinois, Caroline Dollahide. A breakout season has seen her make her top 20 debut. From Charleston, South Carolina, Emma Navarro. She's a former U.S. Open finalist and the owner of seven WTA Tour titles. From Lake Nona, Florida, Madison Keys. She's been ranked as high as number three in the world, capturing four career WTA Tour titles. From Buffalo, New York, Jessica Pegula. And that's the team from the United States of America.
Cause you make me feel like I'm alive again.
We ask you to please rise in body or spirit for the national anthems of Belgium and the United States. To perform the national anthem of Belgium from Opera Orlando, please welcome international mezzo-soprano Glorvie Arroyo.
The 2024 Billie Jean King Cup competition kicks off. Team USA taking on Belgium.
Lindsay Davenport's first tie as the Billie Jean King Cup captain. We've got Jess Pegula, Maddie Keys, Emma Navarro, Caroline Dollahide and Taylor Townsend.
Camaraderie, that's really what I was going for. Great team spirit, ladies who are working hard and really want to represent their country.
It is memories for these women that they're never going to forget, and it would be a great way to start with a nice W.
Welcome to some of the cheapest real estate in Florida, which is where Lake Nona was developed, right on the flight path to Orlando International Airport. Yes, this is the Billie Jean King Cup qualifier presented by Gainbridge. Don't worry, Harold, I won't say that on the
game. how much deeper are we getting here? The worst idea and blunder of a billion and change.
Right, this is what we got for you. It is good news for United States. It was a bit of a pedestrian lead that they took over Belgium. Some fine performances and fighting performances from the two 19-year-olds as we get the reverse of the singles underway in the first match. Hannah van der Winkel up against Jess Bagula, who was a winner yesterday against Sofia Kostelis in three sets. Emma Navarro gaming through and a little bit of a problem with her shoulder. I'm interested to see if that match is still live, whether Emma takes to the court. Let's take you back, Coco, to yesterday and a gritty performance from both ladies.
I'm surprised you guys aren't going to show her getting beamed by the overhead. That is definitely something that we should have seen, but shot-making ability towards the end, finally feeling loose, fancy, and free, Navarro. I thought when I was watching TC Live, instead of this one, I thought they were going to show the blunder of getting pegged by an overhead.
I was hoping a what happened next moment was going to come up. But in the end, we got a Yahanga Khan squash special from Emma Navarro.
A who?
Yahanga Khan, he was one of the most famous squash players back in the 80s and 90s.
Okay.
Squash back in the LA Olympics. We're going segue out of the norm. Harold's getting nervous. USA not nervous anymore, nor Lindsay Davenport, surely at two love up. There will be some more high fives today as United States look to try and qualify for the finals in Seville in November. It was a terrific performance from Hannah, and Wynn-Visett can take a fair bit of credit as well for preparing the two inexperienced girls as well as he has. What's this? What was the clay court, Matt? That was Casper, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Casper.
Okay, yeah. And then at that point, off the back of that.
This is day one. There's more people there. Or is this live?
I think that's live.
Okay.
Sheriff's Office.
The 2024 Billie Jean King Cup competition kicks off. Team USA taking on Belgium.
Lindsay Davenport's first tie as the Billie Jean King Cup captain. We've got Jess Bagula, Maddie Keys, Emma Navarro, Caroline Dollahide, and Taylor Townsend.
Camaraderie, that's really what I was going for. Great team spirit, ladies who are working hard and really want to represent their country.
It is memories for these women that they're never going to forget, and it would be a great way to start with a nice W.
Hey It's a warm welcome to the USGA National Campus here in Orlando as we get the second day of the Billie Jean King Cup qualifiers presented by Gamebridge underway. One of the eight locations around the world as these teams vie to make it to Seville in Spain in November for the finals. It was a tough day yesterday, no question about that on the court. I'm Mark Petchy alongside Coco Vandeweghe. The girls in the end got the job done, Coco.
Yes, and that's all you can really hope for as being an American squad going against somewhat of an unknown Belgian team. And a lot of pressure is on your shoulders being Jessica Pegula and Emma Navarro, not only on your ranking of you're supposed to win, but playing for your country, and they fought the tough battle.
They certainly did. These are the reverse matches today. Van der Winkel will take on Pegula, and potentially Navarro will take the court against Costelas. But up early was Pegula, and down early she was as well.
Yes, she really was looking a bit shaky in that first set. Definitely a gusty day on day one, and just really not finding her rhythm in the first set and a half. But once she started to get her rhythm, started making more consistent rally balls with big targets, she really started to run away with this match and played as a top 10 player.
Sofia Costelas, who has made the final of a junior Grand Slam, that was a very big moment for her. She acquitted herself well, said she got a little physically tired against Pegula in that final set. Didn't look as though Van der Winkel got tired, but Navarro coming up with something a little special.
Oh yes, a squash shot for the win by Emma Navarro. She coming out as a debutante, trying to put her country up 2-0, and Emma showing the athleticism, the work that she's put into her professional career right there at the end, and finally having some fun in this match.
Suddenly the finishing line looked attainable, and just around the corner, even though there were a few nerves on her fourth match point, she gets it done. First tie as captain for Lindsay Davenport. That was a brush with a few defeats, but comes through it in the end, and high fives in the crowd as they look to put the final polish on this performance today. But a lot of respect for the young 19-year-old. You can see Lindsay going in there. She knows what it means to play in this competition. Interestingly, Coco, Jess Pegula was saying yesterday, she'd said to Emma Navarro, don't look at their rankings, don't look at what they've done. Everybody that comes into this competition seems to find a way to raise their level, which is what the two Belgians did yesterday.
Absolutely. It's something so different to have Team USA on your back, or Team Belgium in this case on your back, and playing for something bigger than yourself. And it really can elevate your game, but it can also bring a lot of players' games down. Some players really rise to the occasion, others kind of falter in those moments. But it's so important to just stay within yourself. Remember that you are the lead American in Jess Pegula. You are supposed to set the tone. And how you do that is by just showing the motivation. Get the crowd into this match. Get your teammates on the bench into it to help lift you up and take you through, what she spoke about yesterday. Her teammates really helping her out when she was feeling a bit flat.
Looked like they got a DIY drum there.
Went over to Target and just got one.
Let's see how musical Emma Navarro is. We know what a great tennis player she is, but we're going to hear from her, and we're going to see Jess Pegula take on Hanne Vinderwinkel in the third match from the Billie Jean King Cup qualifiers from Lake Nona.